Zach Strief on the program. Zach, appreciate the time. Charlie in Houston, I know you Northwestern guys are pretty bright, but that's just a spectacularly impressive transition. Can you give me the inkling of how that started? And, oh, by the way, you succeed a legendary guy over there in Jim Henderson. There's the saying, it's tough to be the man who follows the man. And sure sounds like it all has gone very well for you.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on the show today. I appreciate it. I don't appreciate you reminding me of how our last two seasons ended.
Understood.
It hurts my heart a little bit, but yeah, listen, I think more than anything, I feel a little bit like I found a rabbit's foot at the end of my career. I had went around and met with several local media organizations when I retired, and one of those was WWL, which is the local, it's the radio, the Saints mm-hmm. radio local channel, and I talked to them for a while about other things, and kind of the last thing that came out of that conversation was, you know, unfortunately in this business, a lot of times it's what's available. And the only thing we really have open is obviously Jim's job, because he had retired 2 weeks before me. And they said, but that, you know, it's not a player's role per se. It's really, you know, more of a broadcast role. And I said, I understood that. And I walked away from that meeting. And by the time I got to my car, I said, man, that is like the coolest job in the whole world. I wouldn't respect myself tomorrow if I didn't walk upstairs and tell them that, you know, that's the opportunity that interests me the most. And so I did that, and they kind of chuckled at me a little bit, understanding, you know, what a big jump that is and how difficult that job can be. And I was just fortunate, I think. It was the right place, the right time, and I was fortunate to have a reputation within the Saints building that they supported their decision. And really, you know, just I quite honestly, I just feel lucky that it happened. It just kind of all fell into place.
Hey, imagine, Zach, you played 12 years in the NFL, and finally preseason games became important to you last year.
Well, I'll tell you this, they became a lot harder. You know, it went from like, hey, I'm going to get a series here, this should be good, I don't even think that guy across from me cares about this all that much, to, man, there's 180 people on the field, and I've only ever heard of about 50 of them. And it really does change that dynamic a lot. But yeah, the preseason last year, I will never forget the feeling right before we went on air. It reminded me a lot of sitting in the locker room before a game as a young player and not really being sure, you know, what was to come and how I was going to do. And all of those nerves were right back in my stomach. And, you know, I was fortunate. I've got a former teammate in the booth with me, and Deuce McAllister. Right. And as much as I feel now like that was a disaster at the time, they let me grow into it, and I think we've come a long way.
All right, let's get to on-field stuff. The heartbreaking, so close to a Super Bowl appearance last season. So for 2019, boy, the Saints look deep. They look balanced. What is the biggest question mark area about the 2019 Saints?
First of all, I think you're right. I think deep is the right way to define this team. You know, if you're going to pick one word, they are incredibly deep. Incredibly deep. I think there were so few holes on the roster to start with that they really spent the offseason trying to create that, and they did a good job of it. I still think there's questions at wide receiver for the Saints. Obviously, getting Ted Ginn back is going to help a lot. He missed 14 games or 12 games last season, and you know, he's kind of that deep threat that this offense has always kind of thrived with, the ability to hold safeties in the deep middle of the field. They kind of lost last year, and it let teams really kind of squeeze down on Kamara and Mike Thomas, and we got a lot of double bracket coverage at the end of last year that I think affected them. And so, you know, that position group is the exact same as it was last year. Traquan Smith, Keith Kirkwood, and Austin Carr behind those two. The big change, I think, offensively is the free agent signing of Jared Cook, and he's going to be relied upon to be that guy that kind of roves the middle of the field and to take some of that pressure, probably even more so off of Alvin Kamara. But I think that's still the big question mark on this roster. And I think besides that, it's a pretty stacked team.
Drew Brees tailed off some down the stretch last season. He didn't fall off a cliff, but when you are 40 years old, like I guess with Brady, there'll be questions. Any concern level with Brees' productivity over the 16-game grind? And certainly if you're a Saints fan, hoping for three beyond that.
Yeah, you know, I think if you look at the end of last season, and I think it's a fair question every single time any of these guys that are somehow playing into their 40s, any drop-off is always going to be attributed, I think, to their age, and it's understandable. But if you really look at film from last season and really break down the end of the year. I think the problem had a lot less to do with Drew and a lot more to do with the five guys in front of him. The offensive line for the Saints got really beat up at the end of last season. Obviously, Max Unger forced him into retirement. Larry Warford had off-season knee surgery. Andres Pete came into the season injured with a broken ankle, and then Tron Armstead missed seven games last year. So I think what you really saw was as the offensive line broke down and as the protection broke down, coupled with the reality that the Saints couldn't really stretch the field because Ted Ginn Jr. was hurt, and you really had defenses that really kind of squeezed down on the Saints' offense. And, you know, obviously Drew Brees is always going to get the most credit, and he's always going to get the most criticism, and I think it's one of those cases where, you know, the fall-off really had more to do with the line than it did Drew.
Talking with the radio voice of the Saints, Zach Strief, you allude to that offensive line at the risk of nauseating Texans fans. The Saints' O-line, two first-round picks, a second-round pick, a third-round pick, and Warford, a premium free agent signing from the Lions a couple of years ago. With Unger retiring, Eric McCoy, Texas A&M, second-round draft choice, looks like plug and play.
Yeah, he had a really impressive preseason. You know, he's a guy, listen, he played in the SEC. I think he's used to good competition. And, you know, in the games, yeah, it was really interesting to watch him play in the Jets game, a team that has an elite defensive line. And even their rookie, Quinnen Williams, you looked at the first two preseason games, and he was really dominating teams' fronts. And, man, Eric has looked so solid and so steady. And he just kind of is one of those guys that has a personality where he kind of acts like he's in his fifth year. He's just one of those guys that just has a little bit of maturity to him. And I think he's going to be a really good player for the Saints. And there are going to be some growing pains. And seeing a front, you know, like the Houston Texans is not exactly an easy introduction to the NFL. Neither will the Rams or the Seahawks in the next two games. But I do really think that Eric's going to be a plug-and-play guy for him.
Who's the more indispensable Saint between Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas?
Whoa, boy, that's tough. I'll tell you what, I think, you know, for me, it's probably in today's NFL, Alvin Kamara. I think it's easier to get him the ball. He's so good in space. And really, the great thing about Alvin is he's kind of good at everything. He's got great balance, got very good vision. He's a patient runner. He's hard to bring down. Catches the ball like a wide receiver, and you can move him all over the field. It makes him hard to defend, and I really do think guys like Alvin Kamara with coordinators like Sean Payton in this league are about as dangerous a weapon as you can have.
You think they'll be, Payton specifically, mindful of Kamara's workload? No Mark Ingram, but he's not going to start carrying it 22, 25 times per game, right? You want, it's touches, not carries.
Yeah, I don't expect his touches to really change from last year. You know, they brought in Latavius Murray. He's had a very good preseason. To kind of play that role that Mark did last year. He does a lot of the same things well. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. He's a big physical guy, certainly bigger than Mark was. And I don't know that he's not a slight drop-off from Mark Ingram, but he's a really good football player, and I think he's going to fit in the system well. But the Saints will be really they will make sure that Alvin Kamara is around and playing at the same level in Week 17 as he is in Week 1, and I don't expect him to see any huge uptick in touches.
Zach, a Texans-oriented offensive line question. It's been between an issue and a disaster over the last couple of years. The huge trade, I mean, they pay through the nose, but Laremy Tunsil's a good young left tackle. I think you're a pretty good guy of expertise to ask about this. In terms of the whole being the sum of the parts, being better than the sum of the parts with an offensive line, if you have four average guys and you add a really above-average left tackle with a right-handed blindside quarterback to protect and Deshaun Watson, how big can the impact really be of adding one guy who's a lot better than the others?
At that position, it can be pretty substantial. I think if you feel comfortable putting Laremy Tunsil, and you probably should. He had an excellent season last year. If you feel comfortable putting him on an island and letting him go out and handle that side, it allows you to free up, you know, to nudge and chip on the right side, to slide to the right side, to kind of, you know, mess with your protections to give the help to the guys that you feel are lesser players. And it takes a pretty elite player to play that position in that way. But I think Laremy Tunsil has that ability. And you know, the other thing that's interesting with this Texans line, and you know, you just have to tell the fans to be patient. They got two young guys that looks like they're going to plug in to the starting lineup. Max Sharping is a guy that I know the Saints were really high on, really liked him going into the draft. And so, you know, the big thing with offensive line play is there continuity? Is there, you know, that kind of unspoken communication? And it will take some time for them to build that, obviously, with Laramie coming in late and with young players across the front. But that's the way to do it. Get them in young, spend some early draft capital on those players, and let them grow up together.
The Saints' defense is stout that the Texans will see Monday night up front. Cameron Jordan, probably underrated, closer to superstar than star for an every down player. Sheldon Rankins, he's not quite ready yet, correct? And Malcolm Brown, Texas X added from New England, kind of the quickie thumbnail on the Saints' D.
Yeah, the expectation is Sheldon won't be ready for this week. He is ahead of schedule on his recovery. He tore his Achilles tendon in the playoffs last year in the game against the Eagles. But he's been back on the field for him. I don't think he's going to play. And that is a big loss for them because he's an excellent pass rusher from the inside. Really difficult to pair him on the same side as Cam Jordan. They've been really happy with Malcolm Brown. And I think Malcolm is a little better suited for this system than he was in New England. They're going to let him be a little bit more aggressive, let him loosen up a little bit and rush the passer a little bit more than he did. So the front has looked really good in practice. The Saints are also going to be without David Onyemata, who plays opposite of Sheldon Rankins. And so really they're down there two starting defensive tackles. David's got a suspension from an issue in the offseason. So that's certainly a question mark. They'll plug in Taylor Stallworth, Malcolm Brown, who are both good football players, but I think ultimately a slight drop-off from the guys that you'd like to see in there.
To wrap it up, Zach, obviously you expect the Saints to win most games at home, though Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Buccaneers did win in their opening day a year ago. A fundamental reason why you think in the end, beyond just a better team, the Saints beat the Texans Monday night?
Well, here's what's really interesting. The Saints in their last 18 games in September are 5-13, which is surprising considering where they finished those seasons. It's a team that's really struggled to get started, but, man, all they've heard all year is the importance of a fast start this year. I mentioned the next two games, the Rams and the Seahawks. Then they come back against Dallas. So it's a really rough stretch to open up the season. And the bottom line is Sean Payton and Drew Brees and their time in New Orleans have been absolutely phenomenal in primetime football games, and that's what they got here. They got a Monday night game, 6:10 kickoff. And it's just a very, very hard environment for teams to come in and win in those moments. And I think the fact they've had so much pressure on them this year, kind of coupled with the fact that there's a lot of new pieces in Houston. If you look at the roster last year, it might take them a little bit more time to come together as a team, whereas the Saints are returning almost the exact same roster as last season. I think the Saints will be ready for this one, but I think it's going to be a great football game.
Zach Stree, from 12 years playing for the Saints to maybe year two of a run longer than that, calling Saints games. Again, just tremendously impressed with me. Zach, appreciate the time and insight, and here's to the new season. Thanks again.
Yeah, thanks so much.